And good morning. Welcome to another broadcast of Sunshine USA. This is Warren Landis. I'm your host and Bible teacher on Sunshine USA. And it is a delight for me to welcome you into my apartment this morning here in Greenville, South Carolina, as we get together to study the Word of God. You know, it's kind of neat when I think about the fact that I have Christians from all over America and all over the world converging on my apartment every day when I turn on this radio microphone. Amen? Amen. It is a beautiful thing to think about. Because even though we come from different countries, different cities, different cultures, the bottom line, if we are Christians, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And even if we don't get to see each other in this lifetime, we'll get to see each other in heaven. I fully expect to meet a lot of people in heaven who said, you know, I came to Christ by listening to your podcast called Sunshine USA, and that will make me feel so good. Amen. Well, today on the program, we're going to be doing something exciting. We're going to be introducing ourselves to another book in the New Testament. This is a book, once again, written by Paul. And the book is called the Book of Colossians. And it is directed to the church at Colossae, which is actually a city and a church that Paul had never been to. And so that makes this very interesting. The other time that Paul did this was Rome. He wrote a letter to the church at Rome before he ever came to Rome. Now, one of the reasons that Paul writes to a church that he's never been to is because he wants to begin to establish a relationship with that church. Now, it might be pointed out that Paul is imprisoned in Rome. As he writes this letter to Colossae, this would be about 60 or 61 AD. And so Paul is in prison in Rome, and he's never been to Colossae, but he is writing this letter to them to establish a relationship with them. Maybe even has thoughts in his mind of one day going to Colossae to meet them in person. But we will find that a friend of Paul was the pastor of this church, who apparently had given up the pastorate there at Colossae to come to Rome to minister to Paul during the time of his Roman imprisonment. But he also brought Paul some very discouraging information about the church at Colossae. And the discouraging information was the fact that the church at Colossae was falling victim to false teaching and false doctrine. Now, Paul's friend did the best he could to try to set the people there straight. This is a person that had no doubt been heavily influenced by Paul and taught by Paul. But he apparently was not having an easy time doing battle with the false teachers that the people of the Church of Colossae were listening to. Now, this is something that you and I can relate to today. I thank God for the fact that we have a number of Christian radio stations and television stations on the air all across America. And I thank God for that, in one sense of the word. On the other hand, it's also a liability. And you say, Warren, why would it be a liability? Well, because we know that these Christian radio TV stations have a lot of preachers on them that are not correctly teaching the Word of God. They are, in effect, teaching false doctrine. And people today are really having a time of trying to separate what is true from what is not true. And part of the problem we find in our churches today, we don't have enough churches where doctrine is taught. I've actually heard preachers say, well, I'm not going to get too much into doctrine because I'll lose my crowd. Well, I say, so what? You know, people need to know what they believe and why they believe what they believe. And that, by the way, is part of your job as a preacher. To help people to know what they believe and why they believe what they believe. That's part of your job as a preacher. And we have to get into biblical doctrine. Now, in particular, one of the false doctrines that was very prevalent at this particular time, you had false teachers teaching the Christians at Colossae that Christ was not deity. In other words, they were teaching that Christ was not God. Now, this, of course, flew in the face of what Paul was teaching, and that was that Christ is God. And as God, he is the supreme creator. And as God, he has the right to rule and reign in each of our lives. I'm afraid that what most people have today when they got saved, most people have fire insurance. They want to get saved because they certainly don't want to spend eternity in a terrible, awful place that the Bible calls hell. But let me tell you something, folks. Hell is real. Hell is not just a figment of somebody's imagination. It is a real place, and real people do go to hell. And there is eternal suffering there. And, you know, the people in hell will have a new body just like those of us in heaven will have a new body. But their body will be the kind of body that can withstand pain and burn yet never be consumed. So I believe that the fires in hell, for example, are real fires. They are literal fires. And if you could take a live remote TV camera and take it down to hell, you would see people burning, literally burning in a lake of fire. Now, by the way, that fact alone ought to motivate you and I as Christians to evangelize. Because, you see, we have a lot of people in the world today. If they were to die today, you know what would happen? Something very terrible. They would die and go to hell and be there for all eternity. And part of what I want to do in this ministry called Sunshine USA, I want to tell as many people as I can about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the fact that there is a real hell that people really are going to. But part of the good news of the gospel is we don't have to go to hell. We could go to heaven and spend all eternity in this beautiful, wonderful place that the Bible calls heaven. Now, Christ is not just fire insurance. Now, I thank God when I got saved back in November 1969, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I thank God that from then until now, I could say, I'm going to heaven. But when I got saved, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ gave me so much more than just fire insurance. You know what he gave me? He gave me eternal life. And that eternal life doesn't begin one day when I die. It begins right now. Christ is with me everywhere I go. He is with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Jesus Christ wants to be the Lord of my life. He wants to call the shots. He wants to make the decisions. Now, you know, part of the problem we have today It's the same problem that the Christians in Colossae were having. They wanted Christ to provide them with fire insurance, and yet, at the same time, they did not want Christ to make all the decisions and call all the shots. They sort of took the attitude, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job controlling my own life. But one of the things that Paul taught throughout his ministry was the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to be the decision maker in your life. He wants to be the decider. We also know that since Jesus Christ is God, he is totally sovereign. He is totally sovereign. He has all power. Now, I tell you something, folks. When a person truly gets saved, and they invite Jesus to truly be the Lord in their life, let me tell you something. It is an awesome thing to see the change that will come about in that person's life. It's wonderful to see people that used to be drug addicts and alcoholics and criminals. Now they are turned on to Jesus Christ. They are letting Jesus Christ be the Lord of their lives, and the lives they live now are so much different than the lives they used to live. I mean, look at Paul, for example. Paul, at one time, persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians. And yet now, here he is trying to build up the very institution he was trying to destroy. I think about a Jewish evangelist that used to come to my home church and preach a lot. He was a genuine Orthodox Jew before he got saved. But he got involved in a world of crime, and he ended up in federal prison. While in federal prison, he came across a Bible. Now, there was no Bible teacher in that prison. There was no chaplain in that prison, but there was a Bible. It had been placed there, I believe, by the Gideons. And he started reading that Bible. And the more he read that Bible, the more he became convinced that indeed and in fact, Christ was the promised Messiah. And he accepted Christ as a Savior. Now, there was a great price for him to pay. He knew that once he got saved, his family would disown him. In fact, they not only disowned him, they had a mock funeral for him. As far as they were concerned, he died. He didn't exist anymore. They would have nothing to do with him. It reminds me of a lady that got saved in a church that I used to pastor as interim pastor. She came from a Catholic background. All her relatives were Catholic. All her family was Catholic. But what she would do, she would come to our church on Sunday mornings. And she would listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ as I was preaching it in the pulpit. And she began to realize that this Jesus is real. And she got saved. Now, there was a great price for her to pay. I mean, first of all, she sacrificed a lot just to be in church. She was a nurse working on the third shift at the local hospital. And so she came to church straight from work. I know that physically she had to be exhausted, but she came to church. And over a period of time, she began to realize this Jesus is real. She walked down the aisle and gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. What a blessing that was. Now, like the Jewish evangelist, it was not an easy decision. She knew that her family would disown her. Her family would no longer have anything to do with her. But she knew that getting saved and coming to know Christ as Savior, she knew that was the right thing to do, and she did it. I tell you, folks, when Christ gets a hold of your life, he changes your life. He revolutionizes your life. You wouldn't believe the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ can make in your life if you just give him total and complete control in your life. So Paul is writing this church, the church at Colossae, to set the record straight, to try to undo some of the damage that had been done by these false teachers. Now, you know, it's kind of sad in a way, because here, by way of letter, Paul was trying to establish a relationship, not only with the church that he had never visited, but being that he was imprisoned in Rome, he would probably never get the opportunity to personally visit this church. Now, he knew the guy that was, in effect, the pastor of that church. Someone that had been taught by Paul himself. So Paul knew they had a great pastor. But he also knew that the number of false preachers were numerous. And it was going to be very, very hard to overcome so many false teachers. So Paul finds himself writing this letter to the church at Colossae. Now, by the way, Paul in his ministry made a lot of plans that never really came into fruition. If Paul had been allowed by the Lord to live a lot longer than he did, Paul would have had no time filling that time with things to do. No doubt, we have preachers all over America today that die with a desire to do more than they actually did. Hopefully, we never get to that place in our ministry where we stop planning. There are things in my ministry, for example, I've not gotten to do yet, but I hope to before I die. Now, I say I hope to before I die, but I know that Christ ultimately will make the final decision. I mean, among other things, I don't know how much longer I have to live. I may have a long time to live. I may have a short time to live. I just don't know. I took one of these tests on Google the other day. And it was one of these tests that helps you try to figure out how much longer you've got to live. And they ask you a lot of health-related questions. And they ask you a lot of questions about your heredity, about your family background. They ask about any bad habits that you might have. And then they use this information to calculate how much longer you live. And I said, well, I'll go ahead and take this test. So I took the test. And it indicated that I would probably die around the year 2029. Now, bear in mind, as I make this recording, it is 2024, meaning that I have maybe 5 more years to live. Now, of course, the interesting thing here is, it's not up to Google how much longer I get to live. The Lord knows how much longer I've got to live. It might be that I have 5 more years. It might be that I have a lot more than 5 more years. The point is, however long I have to live on this earth, I want to live those years for Jesus Christ. I want to find myself doing the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has called on me to do. That, to me, is so very important. that I am found to be busy doing the work that God has called me to do. I mean, I've talked on this radio program about some of the things I would love to do out yonder in the future. I would love to have a ministry on conventional AM and FM radio stations across America. Maybe have a ministry on television stations across America. I would love to do a lot more preaching in person. I would love to establish a Bible college that would be responsible for training future ministers. I would love to do a lot of book writing. So if I died today, I would die with a lot of unfulfilled plans. But I never want to get to that point in my ministry where I stop planning, where I stop doing things. I want to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ till the day the Lord calls me home. And that should be your desire as well. Now, what I've done today is sort of laid the groundwork for what we're going to be taking a look at in the book of Colossians. Now, when you look at the book of Colossians, you will notice this is another book that has only four chapters in it. This is one of those books in the New Testament you could read at a single sitting if you so desired. It's not a long book at all. But what Paul has to say to the Christians at Colossae is priceless. And it will very likely change your life if you listen to it completely. Especially if, like the Christians at Colossae, you find yourselves constantly doing battle with false teaching. Now, what I will want you to do for next time is go ahead and read the first chapter in Colossians. And I'll be elaborating on that in the next broadcast. Now, once again, as usual, if you have any Bible study questions or if you have any comments you would like to make, you can send me an email. That's the quickest and most direct way to contact me. I have two email addresses. One is warrenlandis@yahoo.com, and the other one is warrenlandis@gmail.com. Now, I also have a snail mail address. Those of you that want to contact me the old-fashioned, old-school way, my snail mail address is Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street, that's T-H-R-U-S-T-O-N, 80 Thruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. It's Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29605. And let me assure you, if you send me a prayer request, I will personally pray over every single prayer request that you send me, because I believe it's all important. I believe prayer is a tremendous ministry. And if you want to give me permission to share your prayer request with our radio audience, I'll be more than happy to do that. And it will be a comfort to you to realize that you have Christians all around the world who are joining you in prayer over whatever prayer request you have. Amen. Well, until next time, this is Warren Landis saying goodbye. God bless you, but don't fret none, because I'll see you next time on Sunshine USA.